my story. 14th century philosopher Thomas Aquinas writes, "There is within every soul a thirst for happiness and meaning." I first began to feel this thirst when I was a teenager. I wanted to be happy. I wanted my life to have meaning. I became hounded by those three basic questions that haunt every human life. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? I wanted answers. So as a young student, I started searching for them. Where I was brought up, everyone seemed to be into religion. So I thought I might find my answers in being religious. Well, I got into church 150%. I went every time the doors opened up. But I must have picked the wrong church because I felt worse inside it than I did outside. So I chucked religion. Then I thought that education might have the answers, so I enrolled in a university. I soon became the most unpopular student among the professors. I would buttonhole them in their offices and badger them for answers to my questions. You can learn many things at university, but I didn't find the answers I was seeking. Faculty members and my fellow students had just as many problems, frustrations, and unanswered questions as I did. I began to think maybe I could find happiness and meaning in prestige. The people with the most prestige in the university were the student leaders. So I got elected to various student offices. It was a heady experience to know everyone on campus, to make important decisions, to spend the university's money getting the speakers I wanted and the students' money for throwing parties. But the thrill of the prestige wore off like everything else I had tried. I would wake up on Monday morning, usually with a headache because of the night before, dreading to face another five miserable days. I didn't let on that my life was meaningless. I was too proud for that. Everyone thought that I was the happiest man on campus. They never suspected that my happiness was a sham. About that time, I noticed a small group of people, 8 students and 2 faculty members, who seemed different from the others. They seemed to know who they were and where they were going, and they had convictions. I admire people who believe in something and take a stand for it, even if I don't agree with their beliefs. It was clear to me that these people had something I didn't have. They were disgustingly happy, and their happiness didn't ride up and down with the circumstances of university life. It was constant. A couple weeks later, I sat around a table in the student union talking to some of the members of this group. The conversation turned to the topic of God. I was pretty skeptical and insecure about the subject, so I put on a big front. I leaned back in my chair, acting as if I couldn't care less. "Christianity, ha!" I blustered. "That's for unthinking weaklings, not intellectuals." Of course, under all the bluster, I really wanted what these people had, but my pride didn't want them to know the aching urgency of my need. The subject bothered me, but I couldn't let go of it. So I turned to one of the students, a good-looking woman. I used to think that all Christians were ugly. And I said, "Tell me, why are you so different from all the other students and faculty on this campus?" Without hesitation or embarrassment, she looked me straight in the eye, deadly serious, and uttered 2 words, "Jesus Christ." "Jesus Christ," I snapped. "Oh, for God's sake, don't give me that kind of garbage. I'm fed up with religion, I'm fed up with the church, and I'm fed up with the Bible." But immediately she shot back. I didn't say religion, I said Jesus Christ. She pointed out something I'd never known. Christianity is not a religion. You see, religion is humans trying to work their way to God through good works. Christianity is God coming to men and women through Jesus Christ. I wasn't buying it, not for a minute. Then my new friends issued a challenge I could not believe. They challenged me to make a rigorous, intellectual examination of the claims of Jesus Christ, that he is God's son, that he inhabited a human body and lived among real men and women, that he died on the cross for the sins of humanity, that he was buried and was resurrected 3 days later, and that he is still alive and can change a person's life even today. I actually thought that this challenge was a joke. Everyone with any sense knew that Christianity was based on a myth, but I accepted my friend's challenge, mostly out of spite to prove them wrong. I decided to start with the Bible. I knew that if I could uncover indisputable evidence that the Bible is an unreliable record, the whole of Christianity would come crumbling down. Sure, Christians could show me that their own book said Christ was born of a virgin, that he performed miracles and that he rose from the dead, but what good was that? I took their challenge seriously. I spent months in research. I even dropped out of school for a time to study in the historically rich libraries of Europe. And I found evidence in abundance. evidence I would not have believed had I not seen it with my own eyes. Finally, I could come to only one conclusion. If I were to remain intellectually honest, I had to admit that the Old and New Testament documents were some of the most reliable writings in all of antiquity. And if they were reliable, what about this man Jesus, whom I had dismissed as a mere carpenter in an out-of-the-way town in a tiny, oppressed country? I had to admit that Jesus Christ was more than a carpenter. He was all he claimed to be.